following audio is from Covenant Life Fellowship. For more information about our church and to stay up to date on all sermons, events, and news, please visit our website at www.clfroseburg.com.
God, who knows us in our weaknesses, rebellion, and sin, but loves us, had planned before time began to create us and provide a way to come back to him fully redeemed. Those who come to him, he calls friends. The one from time eternal had been planned to come at the perfect time to rescue any of us who would receive him out of the obscure little village of Bethlehem. As the prophet Micah said, his goings forth are from long ago, from the days of eternity. Doesn't that give you chills? You know, to think that back in infinite days, before time began, he was planning to come and rescue us. Jesus is the one who Isaiah prophesied that would come for us, as Isaiah said, "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given." He was and is the new and perfect Adam. As Paul said in 1 Corinthians 15:45, the first Adam was a living being. The last Adam became a life-giving spirit. He came for people living in darkness. And at the perfect time in history of common languages, a unified system of government, and a common road system, he came for us. The triune God sent his son to be born incarnate. In the Latin, that means enfleshment, or to be made in the flesh. He was and is the promise fulfilled for us. Emmanuel, God with us. He was and is the very Word of God, who through the same creative force that brought the world into existence had breathed life into a child through a virgin birth that would become the life and the light of the world, to overcome the darkness forevermore. Isaiah prophesied those who dwelt in a land of deep darkness, on them the light has shone. To all who would receive him, they would and will become the children of God. He brought the gift of grace, which is favor we don't deserve. Redemption for our sin and rebellion. And he brought truth, the only absolute truth, the actual bread of life, the very words that bring life to our souls and guide us back to him. The Apostle John understood this. He understood Jesus as the Word when he said, "The Word was with God, and the Word was God." The revelation of Jesus Christ had been revealed and was comprehended more fully by the apostles after the resurrection. John proclaimed the truth that they came to understand, and he came to fully grasp when he said, "And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we have seen his glory, glory as of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth." Excuse me, I'm going to take a little sip of water for my dry mouth. Thank you. How can we personally relate to Jesus as a divine being in the flesh? You know, it's a little difficult at times with our finite minds to really grasp that Jesus was 100% man and 100% God. Jesus expressed his divine nature as needed while also humbling himself as a man in every way that a man hurts and feels. He walked out his childhood and human manhood in righteousness and servanthood, showing us how you and I can live in truth and sinlessness. I can imagine him with a hammer in the carpenter shop, you know, missing occasionally and hitting his finger and maybe getting a sliver in his hand. He felt the pain. He experienced all the pain and suffering that we do. He got tired. He got sore feet. There were no Dr. Scholl's sandals back then. Seriously, he hungered. I know none of you are hungry right now, but you know, when you're hungry, that's a painful feeling at times. He had no place to call home after he began his ministry. He was a wayfarer in an inhospitable world. Can you imagine? He was sorrowful and wept. He experienced hatred directed at him, violence, rejection, and he experienced the most horrible death known to mankind. Why did he choose to walk out such a challenging life in the flesh? He could have called thousands of angels to rescue him from this world and death on a cross. Why? Because Jesus, truly God and truly man, is the full embodiment of God's love for mankind. Regardless of how many times people had rejected God, the Father had promised in full unity with Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit the promise of redemption for fallen men and women, to redeem us and bring us back to him. He promised, and he planned to fulfill that promise. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. Jesus came speaking words of life. The word becoming flesh means more than just speaking into existence. The word has life for healing of our emotional scars, our wrong thinking, our emotional pain, our attitudes, our unforgiveness, our covetousness, our greediness. The words Jesus spoke confirmed the words of God that were given in Scripture to men of old who received the law, received the Ten Commandments, received guidance and the prophecies, and wrote them down in the Old Testament. Jesus' person, his words and teachings fulfilled the law and brought grace and an understanding of love, grace, and redemption never before understood. Those words recorded in the Bible have not changed, but bring the truth that he spoke for us to live by. There is no more important activity for all of us than to know the word, see the truth for us and our culture, understand its meaning in absolute truth, and apply it to our lives. There is absolute truth. You hear people say that, you know, there's no absolute truth, but there absolutely is. Truth is not relative to circumstances or changes in the culture. As Solomon said in Ecclesiastes 1:9, there is nothing new under the sun. The behavior in our culture that outrages us every day is no different than when Jesus walked the earth or in the time of Solomon. But yet, Jesus brought the truth in love. He sat with the sinners like you and me. He came to connect with the most hurting, the oppressed, the sinful, or anyone who would listen. Jesus said, "I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance." Do you want to know or know better this Jesus? who will take the time to listen to your hurts, your sorrows, and struggles? Are you desperate this Christmas for answers to life's questions, to your fears, anxieties, worries? Is Christmas this year less about gifts or pretty decorations, or more about peace in a fractured world, maybe your fractured world? Are you desperate for help with your heartbreaks, depression, loneliness, fear? Are you desperate for someone to help you overcome your regrets, feelings of inadequacy, worries about unmet goals? There's only one answer. You need Jesus and his word, the word who came to dwell among us. Jesus sent his Holy Spirit to be our counselor and guide. The Holy Spirit opens the word of God to us. When we are hurting, he shows us that the answers for joy and peace are in the word. I know what it means to be desperately heartbroken. Personally, I know what it's like to experience a heartbreaking, broken relationship, one that has lasted for several years. I would imagine some of you have that same experience in your family or have had, and you are praying for a person in your family to be reconciled to God and or to be reconciled to you. It's usually not just about one person in the family, but affects and involves several people and causes deep hurt. It would not be right for me to be specific, but suffice it to say, it's a deep hurt that has required daily prayer and much time in the Word. With the Word of God, though, I have been able to carry on with hope, peace, and surprisingly, with joy. The Word of God has helped me walk in humility, keep an open heart of love and forgiveness, examine my responsibility in the broken relationship, and wait on the sovereign work of the Lord to heal, restore, and reconcile in his timing. Jesus speaks to me and you through his word. In the midst of heartbreak, Jesus promises you and me peace. He said, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid." Jesus promises you and me hope. He said, "With man this is impossible, but with God all things are possible." He knows our heartbreak. He even knows our very names. Jesus said, "But even the hairs of your head are all numbered." Isn't that incredible? "Fear not, therefore, you are more value than many sparrows." If we're lonely, Jesus said, "I am with you always, and I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you." If we're depressed or hurting, Jesus says, "Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." If we're worried, Jesus said, "Do not be anxious about your life, and do not be anxious about tomorrow, for tomorrow will be anxious for itself." That's one of my favorites. "Leave it till tomorrow, he'll handle it." If we're heartbroken, Jesus said, "Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted." How do we get to know him and his love? Abide in him and his word. Jesus said, "If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love." What does Jesus mean by abide? You know, that's a word we don't use commonly today. Abide means to accept, trust, act, live, dwell, and remain in a constant, intimate relationship with God. To connect and remain connected, it requires spending time with Jesus, the Word, through His words and all the words of God. So here, I'm going to give you a few suggestions which may help you to get into the Word a little deeper. And if you don't know Him, this is a good place to start. If you do know Him, you can pick up something to possibly re-strengthen your relationship. Read His words and the words written about Him in His ministry in the Gospels, Acts, and the letters written by Paul and others in the New Testament. Begin with the Gospel of John and learn why John called Him the Word of God. Before you begin opening the Scripture, spend 5 to 10 minutes in prayer and ask the Holy Spirit to open up your understanding. Choose a quality modern English version of the Bible with study notes. Choose one for study you can read and highlight, and also a downloaded version. Memorize the word to recall it in times of stress and struggle. You might write out a scripture on a sticky note and put it in a place where you spend a lot of time, on the refrigerator, on the microwave, in the bathroom, on your mirror. Memorize the word to recall it in times of stress, and that's important, not only to learn how to memorize the word, and if you don't know how to do that, you can attend Julie Cherry's class on Bible memorization. You can get a Bible memorization book. In fact, at the book table, we have one by Susan Heck on Bible memorization. Listen to the word on your iPhone or your Android phone when you're doing housework, gardening, wherever it's convenient. I like to stick my phone in my back pocket, and I'm out gardening and all by myself, and I turn it on and listen to the word. Choose a read through the Bible version and begin this year to read through the entire Bible. That sounds like a big deal, but you can do it one chapter, one book at a time. And if you listen to it on your phone, you can cover several chapters at once. Get advice on quality commentaries and reading materials to help you understand the Bible. It's important you choose biblically accurate materials, though. And the books that we provide at CLF, at the bookstore, and the book table, have been vetted by the pastor and the elders of the church. So you can be comfortable with them being accurate. Also, we gain no profit in the books that we sell. We sell them for whatever price we order them from. And purchase a self-confrontation manual. I know several of you have. If you haven't, I would highly recommend it because you can learn how to apply the word to your life and learn how the Bible is sufficient for every area of your life. If you need advice on how to apply the word, it is an excellent resource. Join a community group and a Bible study group. Invite a woman in the church who has been in the Word for many years and ask for ideas how you can study and glean more from the Word. Feed on the Word of God. Jesus said, "I am the bread of life." Let it saturate you. He is the Word for your life and for your soul. If you don't know Him personally, or you need to strengthen your relationship with Him, I or any of the elders' wives or the ladies' ministry wives, ladies, would be happy to spend some time with you. Go out to coffee or just spend some time helping you to receive Him or to draw closer to Him. If I haven't emphasized it enough this evening, joy and peace for us at Christmas and throughout the year, every day is through Him and His Word. Jesus said, "These things I have spoken to you that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be full. Regardless of your physical or emotional hurts, financial situations, or whatever your circumstance that's going on with you at Christmas, my prayer for you is that you will experience the peace and joy in knowing Jesus, the Word, who dwells among us through His Word and His Holy Spirit. Merry Christmas to all of you, everyone. Thank you. Okay. Denise asked if I would tell you a little bit more about myself and my testimony, so I won't make it real long because I know you have other things and probably Christmas music to sing, which we all love. But just briefly, I was raised in the Catholic Church, grew up not really a devout Catholic. My parents would take us whenever they could, and I went through catechism and whatever. But I also had the influence of some other churches where I grew up. My parents would let me go to Sunday school and vacation Bible school, even though it wasn't Catholic-based. And I'm very thankful for that because that's where I really gave my heart to the Lord first, was at Vacation Bible School when I was 12 years old. And I memorized a lot of scriptures there, and that really stuck with me. And I begged my mother for a Bible. We only had a Catholic Bible in my home, and it was one of those big, heavy ones, you know. And I like to look at it and look at the pictures, but the Vacation Bible School teacher encouraged me to get my own Bible, and that sounded like a great idea, and I wanted to do that. So I talked her into going to the Bible bookstore in town, and it wasn't a Catholic bookstore, but she was willing to go, and she did ask them if they had Catholic Bibles, which they didn't, but I saw this pretty white leather-looking Bible for young girls, and that's the one I wanted. It was a red-letter edition. And I took it home, and I really got into reading it. And I think I read through the whole thing. That might be just an imagination, but I really tried to read the whole thing. And that really, I didn't have any help, you know, to understand it very well. You know, my mom tried. She would try to read the Bible to us some. But it really stuck with me, and it really gave me a really great foundation. But I grew up in the 1960s. Things were different. The music, the atmosphere, older brothers, they weren't necessarily following the Lord. And I went through a rough time of not really being on the right track, let's say. I got away from really knowing the Lord and really dedicating my heart to follow Him. And it really wasn't, it was kind of a roller coaster, and some of you might know what I mean by that. Maybe you've been there too, where you're kind of into church, out of church, into the Bible, out of Bible, and letting the world have too much influence. And it really wasn't until my husband and I got together that I really wanted to have a serious walk with the Lord. And I tried to get him to go to the Catholic Church. He wouldn't have anything really, well, actually, he did go once. And I know a lot of really, I believe, strong Christian believers in the Catholic Church. So I don't want to be negative about that at all, because I have a lot of positive things to say about a lot of things in the Catholic Church. There are things that we have in common. And so I don't want to put that down. But it wasn't the right experience for him. He did not feel comfortable there. And so we were living out in the country, and there was a little community Sunday school out there, and I talked him into going to that. And then that worked for a little while. But the people that we lived next to that were really good family friends also hadn't found a church when they had moved back to that area. And I suggested, why can't we just have a Sunday school and a gathering on Sunday morning? And they thought it was a great idea. So we started having coffee and breakfast together and talking about the Lord. Well, you know, one or two of them were well grounded in the Word, and we had some great discussions. And Steve always said he was the devil's advocate, and he was. He was always bringing up these strange questions and crazy, you know, different opinions of things and his idea of the Bible and of what God is doing in our life. And they just kept helping him along. But then he had an experience with the Lord out of all of that. We were praying for him, and he ended up having a personal experience actually out in the woods all by himself, and gave his heart to the Lord, and we were baptized together in the creek close to where we lived in February. The water was cold, but you knew you were saved when you came out of the water. And so together with this other family, we decided maybe we should find a church home. And so that was the beginning, and we got into the church, and we never looked back. And that was probably the second year of our marriage, and we've served the Lord ever since. So.
This sermon has been proudly given in response to cherishing the gospel of Jesus Christ. Be sure to check out our YouTube channel and subscribe to watch all our sermons online. For more information about Covenant Life Fellowship, visit us on the web at www.clfroseburg.com.